The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I hope that everyone is experiencing what I experience on Sunday mornings here. I just feel the power of the Holy Spirit in this place, moving us and stirring us. There's so much more for this body to do. I believe we're doing a lot. We're doing what God has called us to, but I believe there's things in the future that we're going to be able to do, and we're going to touch lives in an incredible way. It's time for the power of the Holy Spirit to be released in people's lives. It's time for us to walk in what Mark said. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. Drink any deadly thing. You know, not be afraid of anything, any deadly thing. Because the power of God is upon us. Not be concerned with what man thinks. Be mostly concerned with what God thinks in our lives. We need to get back to that in the body. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to tell you, I changed my message this morning. This week, as I was preparing to continue with my prophetic message and current events, prophecy and current events, I was really overwhelmed with all trying to figure out all the information, put it all together. And I asked God, I said, God, you know, can I have a break from this? Because it's time-consuming. Believe me, ask Kathy. She knows how time-consuming it is. She's looking things up for me as well. And we're just trying to do our best to show you where we are in this time, in, you know, as far as the time frame and the return of Jesus Christ. It is coming very, very near. But I want to do a really good job with this, and I want you to be able to see it. I want to have the videos and everything that is necessary to help us visualize all that is really taking place in our world right now. But so I asked God that, and I really felt like He gave me a break, and I believe He gave me a message that I'm supposed to preach today. And the message today is about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad you're all so excited. Hallelujah. You shall receive power is the message that I'm going to share with you today, because I believe we need power in the church today. I'm seeing the Church of Jesus Christ without power. We have a form of godliness, but there's no power there. People are going to church on a regular basis, and there's no power to change their life. There's no power to set people free. There's no power to proclaim the gospel. And I include myself in this. We don't have the boldness that we need to have. Those of us who have been filled with Spirit need to stir that thing inside of us, like Apostle Paul told Timothy, stir up that gift inside of you. Stir it up. And if you're not filled with the Spirit, you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, today is the day to receive it.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Get it.
Awesome.
It's necessary.
Glory to God.
We want it. I want you to have it. I am convinced. Woo! It is the power of God in your life.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
You need it. I want to talk to you today about three baptisms. And I believe that we can find that throughout the book of Acts. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Begin with verse 4. This is Jesus talking to his disciples just before he ascended to heaven. He was about to leave. And this is the last words of Jesus on the earth. Most important words that he could speak to his disciples. Of all the things that he could say to them, this is what he chose to say at the very end. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, the promise that the Father has made. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? See, people, they were always looking for Israel to be restored. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Witnesses, power to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We need that in the church today. I want to talk to you, as I said, about the three baptisms. The first one is the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus. Baptize means to submerse. It means to immerse and to overwhelm. So it's all those things. When you talk about baptism, you know, I know some people believe in sprinkling, but when it comes to water baptism, but the word really contradicts that. That is translated baptism in the New Testament. It's about being completely put under water. And when it comes to receiving Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, for by one Spirit we are all what? Baptized into one body. Baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit baptizes into whose body is it? Jesus' body. So we are baptized into Jesus and Jesus' body by the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the reason that the Holy Spirit brings us and woos us and calls us is for us to come to Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. This work of the Holy Spirit is the born again experience that Jesus talked to Nicodemus about. He was drawing Nicodemus at that time, so that Nicodemus could understand that he needed to be not just born of the flesh or born naturally from his mother's womb, but he needed to be supernaturally, spiritually born again. Everyone needs that. If you're not born again in this place, you can be born again today. You can become born again by simply receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But I want to tell you something. It's not going to happen unless the Holy Spirit is drawing you to receive Christ. Many people make confession, and it's just a head knowledge. I've seen it happen over and over again. You can tell that it's just head knowledge, because as soon as they leave the place that they made that confession, they go right back to the same lifestyle they had before. That's just head knowledge. But let me tell you something, when you get spirit knowledge, when you get it in your heart, it changes your life. It changes your life, it changes you on the inside, and it spills out on the outside. It not only spills out on the outside and runs out all over you, but it runs out all over other people as well. People know when you are born again. When I first became a believer in Jesus Christ, when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I had friends that we did things that were not Christian by any means. I used to live a pretty wild lifestyle. Drugs, alcohol, just doing things, you know. I was pleasing my flesh. But when I received Christ as my personal Savior, and I went back and tried to hang around with those friends, it didn't work any longer. It wasn't that I was rejecting them. It was that I didn't fit. My life was different. And they knew it. They said, there's something different about you. Praise God. They didn't necessarily like the difference. But it was different. God, when we receive Christ as our personal Savior, that baptism that the Holy Spirit leads us to into the body will change your life. But there's more to it than that. Sometimes the reason that people just receive Christ as their personal Savior and then go out and go about their own life is because they're not following through with the steps that the Bible teaches us. There are three baptisms that we need to have in our life. That first one is being baptized into the body. The second is water baptism. Yes. Yes. You need water baptism. If you've never been water baptized, you should get water baptized. It is a spiritual experience. So first of all, we're going to receive Jesus as our personal Savior. John 6:4 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." What is the agent in the earth that God uses to draw people? The Holy Spirit. You can find it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God's agent is the Holy Spirit that draws. So you need that. You need to be water baptized. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Let's go over there. We're going to probably be looking at quite a few scriptures this morning. So turn back to Matthew. Do you have your Bible with you? Your iPhone, your iPad, something? Hallelujah. Matthew 28. Let's start with 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." How much authority?
All
authority. How much is all authority? All is all, isn't it? Everything. All. Absolutely everything. Every bit of authority has been given to Jesus Christ. That just goes to show you how much authority the enemy really has in this earth. Yes. All authority has been given to Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We don't have to worry about what the enemy's doing. We need to concentrate on the one that has authority in Jesus' name.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. All authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. He said, go, speak the word, teach them, make disciples, and baptize. Baptism is an important spiritual experience for every person. And I'm not going to teach extensively on this particular baptism this morning, just like I'm not going to teach that much on salvation. But I wanted to lay the foundation for you to understand that the Scripture is showing it and will be showing us this morning. As we walk through it, we will see the three baptisms. And they are consistently, particularly in Acts, you can consistently see those three baptisms. So the third thing that we're looking at this morning is Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11 says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will do what? Baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." You see, Jesus didn't come to just get you saved. That's part of it. He came, he was the Lamb of God, he died, he shed his blood, he did that so that you could be right with the Father and you could have eternal life. But there's more to it than that. He says, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire is going to well up inside of you. Fire is going to motivate you. Fire is going to lead you and direct you. Fire is going to cause you to do things that you never thought you could ever do.
That's right. That's right.
Because it's the fire of God inside of you.
That's right.
God wants to do mighty things with his people.
Yes, he does.
He wants to give us all boldness. I'm praying, God, give me boldness. I need more boldness. I want to be so bold that I would stand before Congress and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Believe me, most of them don't want to hear it. Now, there's some in there. They're doing all right. Praise God. Amen. We have a remnant. I'm glad of that. But God wants us to recognize there is power in this Holy Spirit baptism that he's talking about, that Jesus is going to give us. Now listen, this particular scripture is so important that it's in all four Gospels. Now you may not think that that's such a big deal, but you got to understand that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are considered synoptic Gospels or similar Gospels. Because what they do is they talk about the birth of Jesus and they jump over to the last year of Jesus' ministry. And that's where they kind of teach from that point on, teaching about the last year of Jesus' ministry. So they're all very similar in the things that you read in those synoptic gospels. But John's gospel was written many years later, and the Holy Spirit inspired John to do more, to go back and pick up some of the things that Jesus did in his early ministry. For instance, the Canaan wedding, the turning the water into wine, and the encounter with Nicodemus, and the woman at the well, and so many things that are included in the Gospel of John. But there's just a few things that are included in all these Gospels. Of course, the birth of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection, which is that first baptism I talked about, salvation, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit must have felt, God the Father must have felt that it was extremely important to include these in all four of those Gospels. This is important for us to understand these things. Three things that we need to focus on this morning. Now I'm going to move through this message as quickly as possible. Pastor Otis, do you have your laser pointer? I'm going to need that in just a little bit. Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, sir. You are a good man. You try to be? There we go. Got it. All right. Amen. Thank God it's not dependent on you. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. All right, three things that we need to focus on. As we go through these scriptures, because I want you to see in the book of Acts, they're all there and they're all part of the plan of God. Salvation, baptism, water baptism, and spirit baptism. Now, would everyone agree? We're going to look at Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 10, 9 and 10. You can look there or turn there and then we'll go to it. Would everybody agree that Jesus is our example? Okay, great, good. We believe Jesus is our example. Do you think Jesus had these three things in his life? Okay, now that's very true. He did. However, there is something a little different about Jesus, and that is Jesus didn't need salvation. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus didn't need to be born again because he was born correctly the first time.
Yes.
Amen?
That's right. He was
right on. God came into flesh, and he was perfect. That's why he's the Lamb of God, because he was without spot or blemish. So he is perfect in all his ways, and that's why he could die on the cross for our sins in our place. So that salvation thing, he already had that. He was already in order. He was moving along with it. He was exactly what God wanted and needed him to be. He was perfect in all his ways. All right, now turn over to Mark from Matthew. Mark chapter 1. Next book. Jesus is, or John the Baptist is baptizing people in the wilderness. And as he's baptizing, Jesus comes to him. And it says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now, some of the other translations, I didn't want to get too deep into this, or some of the other books, I should say. Matthew talks a little more in depth about it. They have a little dialogue, and John says, I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus said, we need to fulfill the scripture and do this thing and complete it exactly the way God wants it to be done. So Jesus is actually baptized by John. And what happens when Jesus is baptized? And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay. First of all, Jesus had the salvation thing right. We know that. He was already saved. He was the Savior. So he needed to complete the rest of it because he's our example. So what happened? He was water baptized. Hallelujah. You need to be water baptized. If you've never been water baptized, or if you were baptized as a child and didn't know what you were doing, and now you know Jesus is your personal Savior, get baptized. It's important. It's a step in the right direction toward the Holy of Holies. I'm going to show you that in just a little while. You don't want to skirt that. Because you see, anytime we enter into the presence of God, we want to do it God's way, not our way. Amen? Get water baptized, okay? And the second thing that happened to Jesus was what? The Spirit of God came down like a dove. Now, it wasn't a dove came down like the Spirit. It was a Spirit came down like a dove. It appeared to be a dove, but it was the Spirit of God. It is a representation of the Holy Spirit. There's lots of things in Scripture that represents the Holy Spirit. The fire represents the Holy Spirit. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. The cloud, which we'll look at in just a minute, that followed or that went before the children of Israel, was the Holy Spirit. It was a representation of the Holy Spirit. And the fire was a representation of the Holy Spirit. At night, it was the power of God leading them. All right. Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 1, once again. Okay, Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together, verse 4. With them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit from not many days now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know. Now, I know we're repeating this, but it's important that we do. Times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Okay, first of all, he's talking to his disciples. Do you believe at this point the disciples think he's the Son of God? Most likely they do. They've seen supernatural things happen. They saw him die on the cross, and they saw him came, and then they experienced the fact that he came back to life and came and visited them and talked to them and taught them for 40 days. He was seen by over 500 people, the scripture says. He was there. They're believing at this time. They're believing he is the Savior of the world. So now he's telling them that's not enough. You need more. You need this Holy Spirit baptism that I received after I was baptized. Now, I'm interjecting there. That's not exactly what Jesus said, but, you know, the connotation is Do what Jesus did. Receive what Jesus, follow Jesus. He is, without a doubt, our example. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Beginning with verse 36. Now, leading up to this, the disciples have received the baptism, have received the Holy Spirit. It descended upon them. Great miracles were taking place. All kinds of crazy things was happening. Or good things. I shouldn't say crazy. Great things. Awesome things. And Peter stands up and preaches and tells them some things that they probably don't want to hear. He tells them, "You crucified the Lord. Repent." In verse 36, he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, listen to what he says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized." First of all, he says, repent. Repentance is the first step to salvation. You repent, you receive Christ. Then the baptism is the outward appearance and sealing of your salvation. It is. Now listen, I don't want to make too much of this because I know people go to heaven without being baptized. I'm not talking about you're not going to get into heaven without baptism, water baptism, without Holy Spirit baptism. I'm just telling you that this is a sequence that God laid out, a plan that God has for His people. If you want all that He has for you, you walk in the plan of God. You fulfill it. And water baptism was part of that. He said, listen, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you what? Shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive that thing that you are asking for when you do it God's way. Hallelujah. Now, what we're looking at here is that this scripture is teaching the three baptisms that I was talking about this morning. Okay, go to Acts chapter 8. Now, as we go through this, see if you see those three baptisms. Acts chapter 8. Let's begin with, we'll do verse 4 through 8 to just get started here. "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city." Okay. Philip came and preached Jesus, and they received him. There's that. The Holy Spirit drew them. That first baptism, or being baptized into the body. The Holy Spirit drew them to receive Christ as their personal Savior. Philip was an awesome man. You see, all kinds of things, miracles and things were taking place. But why then didn't he go ahead and lay hands on them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We don't know. We have no idea other than, hey, this is a great example for us. Maybe that's what it's all about. For us to see that this salvation thing is not all that you need if you're going to walk in the power of God in your life. They received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Okay. Now, jump down to verse 12. "But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." They believed in Jesus and they were baptized. Hallelujah. Doesn't say anything from that at that point where they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the indwelling of the Spirit of God, the power of God to be witnesses. Look carefully at these scriptures. I want you to see what's happening here. First baptism, second baptism. Now let's see what happens. Look at verse 14. Now the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent Peter and John to them. They were going to go down there and minister to them. When they had come down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon, I'm just going to stop right there. They received the Holy Spirit. So you see the sequence here. Receiving Christ as your personal Savior, baptized into the body, baptism with water, baptism with the Holy Spirit. This sequence of things, this pattern is all throughout the book of Acts. You can find it in Acts 19, it's Ephesians. It's the same pattern. They received Christ, they were baptized, they were filled with the Spirit. Now, I do not want you to think that I'm putting God in a box and saying, if you don't do it this certain way, you don't have it. If you don't do it, salvation and baptism and Holy Spirit, you're not in order. Well, this is just a pattern that God has given us, because I can show you two different places, and we're not going to turn here this morning, but I can show you that in Acts 10, Cornelius was a Gentile, and Peter came to preach to him. And while Peter was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, he believed, and suddenly he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, Peter says, is there any reason for us to deny this man water baptism? Now, here's what I want you to see in this. It's not necessarily that you have to have it, those last two in order. Yeah, that's right. It's not just a sequence of things, but they're all important. In Cornelius' situation, it still happened. He still was baptized. If it happens that way in your life, hallelujah. Praise God, you get salvation and filled with the Spirit all at the same time. Let's get you baptized. Let's throw you in water. Let's do it God's way. The Apostle Paul is another good example. When he had his Damascus Road experience, what happened? Ananias came, laid hands on him. He received his sight and was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then he went out and got baptized. But he got baptized in water. He got baptized in salvation. He received baptism in water. He received baptism in the Holy Spirit. This thing is real and it's important, and you need it in your life. Hallelujah. First John chapter 5, verse 17. Look at this carefully. It says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. We know that, absolutely. No doubt about it. And verse 8 goes on to say, and then there are three that bear witness in the earth. Here where we live, there are three. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now the blood is representative of salvation. Without the blood, there is no salvation. All things are cleansed by the blood. The blood of the Lamb is the reason we have salvation. So in Jesus Christ, that's what he's talking about here. All three of them are here in this scripture. The blood, the water baptism, and the Spirit baptism. And you know, you got to recognize that he's talking about this being a witness. A witness to what? A witness to the power of God. To be able to deliver, to be able to set free, to be able to do the things that the scripture says God will do and the things he will use his people to do. Do we need fire in our lives today? Do we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. We need to see the church turned right side up again. Amen. We need the book of Acts to happen all over again, right now, in this place, in this world, in this nation. We need the power of God. We have to believe that it's going to happen. Now, let me ask you, or let me interject here, what the three baptisms do. The salvation, the baptism, causes you to be a new creature in Christ. I already touched on that. I became different when I received Christ as my personal Savior. The water baptism, it's as I said, it's a spiritual experience. It needs to happen. But what it does is it cuts you off, cuts that old person off. You go down the old person, and spiritually speaking and metaphorically speaking, you come up as a new person, a new creature, new creation. Maybe that's why some people go out after receiving Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, and they're not changed, because the old man is still rising up. He's never been put to death. Now, you do that in various ways. I'm telling you, you can't just, you know, sometimes you feel like you got somebody that has lived a crazy life, and you baptize him, and you just want to hold him under long enough to kill that old man. Is he dead yet? Hallelujah. But we know that this is spiritual. This is power. So as we look at this thing, we're seeing that there is something about salvation, the baptism. There is something about the water baptism. There absolutely is this power, the Holy Spirit baptism. The reason for it is power in your life. Power to be a witness is what Jesus said. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Is this helping anybody?
Yes,
glory. Hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 6 and 11 because I want to establish the foundation here for this. Now these things becoming our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now what he is saying is that the things in the Old Testament were an example for us. And verse 16 goes ahead and says, or verse 11, I'm sorry. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come. The ends of the age have come upon us. We're at the end of the age. And these things that we are reading, we read in the Old Testament, were all set forth as an example. They happened, but they were an example for us to follow, sometimes a different route and sometimes the same route, to understand. So let's go back now to verse 1 and 2, chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Now, listen, we're looking at those three baptisms. We're trying to find each one of those baptisms in these scriptures that we're talking about, the salvation baptism, the water baptism, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Verse 2 says, all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Okay, all of them. Now, what we have to understand is that Moses was their deliverer. Moses, it says, the scripture teaches us that he was a type and example of Jesus Christ. He actually, the children of Israel were actually told to look for one like Moses or greater than Moses. So that's what they were looking for their deliverer. All through the centuries, and even now, they're looking for that one that's going to come along and deliver them. Little do they know, he's already been here, and when he comes back, he's going to set them free. I'm talking about Israel. All were baptized into Moses, okay? There it is. They were baptized into Moses. We are baptized into Jesus, our salvation. All in the cloud and in the sea. The cloud is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Of course, a cloud went before them by day and led them by day, and at night it was fire. That's a representation of the Holy Spirit. And the sea, of course, is the water baptism. We have all three of them here in this particular teaching. As we went through Acts, you could see it over and over and over again, this teaching of how important it is to have all three of these in your life. The last thing I want to talk to you about is the example of the tabernacle of Moses. This is really important for us to see that these things are an example. First of all, there's a door, and there's only one way in. And God intentionally put one way in because he said there is only one way to him. Amen. Jesus said, I am the door. That's what he's talking about. That right there. He said, I am the door. No one's going to come to the Father but by me. That's what he said. This was a type and example of what God did, God performed in the New Testament for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. When you enter in, when the priest, now let me preface this a little bit with exactly what was happening. One time a year, the high priest was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies, the great day of atonement. He had to be prepared to do that. He had to be cleansed. And he had to do it properly. The first thing he had to do as he walked in that door was go to the altar and sacrifice. The altar represents our salvation. Then he had to walk from there to the laver. Sometimes it was called the Great Sea in the Old Testament. It was a huge laver full of water where they would wash, ceremonially cleanse themselves. Baptism, right there. Then he would go from there, and there was an urn of oil that was used for nothing except the work in the temple or in the tabernacle. Prior to this, the high priest had, in order to be a high priest, he had to be anointed with a specific type of oil that was to be used for nothing else but anointing of the high priest. Baptism in the Holy Spirit before he entered in to the Holy of Holies. Now, can you enter it? Can you get saved and go into the Holy of Holies? Yeah, you can do that. But you're not going to understand what's going on.
Exactly. That's right, sir.
You're not going to have the knowledge you need.
That's right.
Can you get saved and get baptized and enter into the Holy of Holies? Absolutely. A lot of people do. But God's plan is that you get saved, you get baptized, you get filled with the Spirit, and you enter His Holy of Holies with power, with excitement, with glory, with honoring Him, with expectation of what He's going to do through you and with you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Stand with me. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.